All right, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23 through 25. We're going to read and then I'll open in prayer. Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity that I have to present your word, Lord. It's a humbling experience. Lord, we pray that for everything that is said, we pray that you're glorified, Lord. We pray that I'm able to get my message across and it be a blessing to all, Lord. We also pray for Tommy, who's going to be going after me, Lord. Pray just through all these things that you're glorified, Lord. Pray all this in your son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, in this passage, Paul implores his audience to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What is it that Paul is stating they should base their faith on and never waver upon? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood and authority over their life. Despite going through tremendous persecution and trials, they were encouraged to remain steadfast in their faith upon Jesus. Why? The verse finishes with, as we see here, for he is faithful that promised. If we look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, we can see this passage reinforces Paul's exhortation towards the Jews. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." In Deuteronomy, we clearly see the faith that Paul is referencing. And this is a promise which no doubt the Jews were aware of. Now let's continue with what Paul is trying to teach us here in verse 24 of back to Hebrews, verse 24. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Earlier in Hebrews, Paul challenged the Jews to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, which we can see in Hebrews 3:1. I can just read it for you. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And now in our passage here in verse 24, we can see Paul telling them to consider each other. Again, despite the trials and tribulations of the time, they were charged with loving the Lord and others around them. Let's see what Jesus himself had to say about loving and considering one another, and we're going to see that in the book of John, chapter 13. John 13, 34 through 35. Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We can see again in chapter 15 of the same book, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." We can go back to our passage in Hebrews. In the context of this passage, the good works referenced in verse 24 would no doubt be talking about the Jews needing to acknowledge the priesthood and authority of Jesus over them in their lives and be rid of the old way and practices, all while being persecuted by the Jews that continue to deny Jesus. If we keep going in our passage to verse 25, we can go ahead and read it. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Contextually speaking, the rampant persecution of the Jews by those who were not professing Christ and exhorting one another in the Baptist church there no doubt posed a great threat and temptation for some to forsake the Lord Jesus Christ and their fellow members in the church. Frankly speaking, the Jews weren't going to church. And we know this was the case because we can see in the verse it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." So this was definitely going on at that time. Paul, knowing the temptations, and persecutions that they faced, was exhorting them to exhort others to remain steadfast in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to follow those who were forsaking the Lord in the assembly. How can we apply what Paul was trying to teach the Jews to our assembly here? I want to focus on what forsaking the assembling of ourselves together means for us in this dispensation. As Paul relayed to the Jews to exhort one another in the church there, likewise, we are to exhort our members here in this assembly. I think an important prerequisite to exhorting our fellow members is to first be at church when we are assembling. How are we to exhort and encourage if we are not present in the assembly to begin with? Paul wanted the members in Hebrews to exhort those who might be tempted to forsake the assembly by the unbelievers. If we are present in church and worshiping and giving glory unto the Lord, what better exhortation is there than to have members see your love for the Lord and authority you give him over your life? Although we do not face the exact same trials the Jews faced in their time, Satan's work is no different whether it was back then or now. Satan will consistently lure us astray and keep us from the one place where we can receive the exhortation needed to face the trials of the world, the local church. What are some of the temptations that Satan may use to cause us to forsake the assembly? For some of us, it may be work. Now, we remember in Matthew chapter 6, we can turn there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Holding work priority over assembling over the Lord is a scary place to be when Scripture tells us we are either going to love one and hate the other. Another temptation might even be sports or any kind of entertainment the world has to offer. We can think of another verse talking about this. We can turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Again, we see our love for the Lord in jeopardy by holding something in our lives higher than we hold the Lord. One final temptation could even be family. The Bible has a good example for this in Matthew chapter 8. We'll go ahead and turn there. We'll also read the sister passage as well, but we'll get this first. Chapter 8, verse 19. And it says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead." Now the sister passage in Luke chapter 9, quickly turn over there. Almost exactly the same thing. We'll go ahead and read it. Starting in verse 57. "And it came to pass that they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which were at my house." As much as family is important in our lives, it should never take preeminence when it comes to following the Lord, and in Luke's case, preaching the kingdom of God. The bottom line is, there are multiple temptations to draw us from the assembly of the Lord. We each know what our weaknesses are. Satan knows our weaknesses too, which makes it even more important for members to be at church exhorting and considering one another. Many of the reasons for our struggle with faithfulness and church attendance stem from our own doing, whether it be previous sin in our life or obstacles that were created by ourselves. We should not be surprised by these trials in our life when they come. We should not fall into Satan's trap of holding a victim's mentality when coming face to face with the obstacles before us. The Lord loves us and desires to meet with us. Let us not have excuses, but keep our eyes on the Lord and follow him. We can take a look at another reference. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is a very special place. The pillar and ground of the truth, as the Bible says. How are we to behave ourselves in the church? I think Paul has given us a very good template to follow in our passage in Hebrews. Exhorting one another is not just showing up to church. As our pastor is currently teaching us, each of us are to be using our individual spiritual gift to serve and exhort one another in the assembly. How, as believers, are we able to forsake the assembly and say we love and follow the Lord at the same time? Biblically, there is one reason as to why we forsake the assembly. We love the world and hate God. Let's not be on the side of hating the Lord, but loving him and giving him complete priority in our life. In Matthew 18:20, our last reference, we can turn there. Matthew 18:20. Bible says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Very famous passage. We see the Lord's presence with the assembly when they are meeting. The Lord is waiting to meet with you each time we assemble. As Paul said in the beginning of our passage in Hebrews, we are to hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Let us strive to profess our faith in our actions by faithfulness to the assembly, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to us.